Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Tuesday, January 27th. This is Sam in the Morning with Jen, in case you were tuning into another show.
Hello.
Hello. And it's our turn to talk, so you can sit back, relax, and listen to all the garbage we talk about. Welcome to the show. Hi, Jen.
Hi.
Well, we're seeing a lot of bad weather back east.
Yes, we are.
And yet we had a storm watch here for two drops of rain yesterday.
Right. It rained yesterday. It couldn't be sunnier today. And
yeah, it's all gone. It's history now.
I actually feel like you for a moment because I could have used another day of rain.
Really?
Yeah.
Why is that?
I don't know. Well, I dressed for it and then it wasn't there when I walked out of my house. I guess I could have looked, but I didn't. I expected it to just be raining. I don't know.
Went like, today?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
It was okay. Kind of cozy to have it yesterday for a little bit.
It is. Thank you very much. That's why I like rain. It's
yes,
cozy.
But like only 1 or 2 days of it.
Okay.
Like, I mean, all of the airlines are closed on the East Coast and my hairdresser can't get back to LA and like I'm not happy about it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's a big problem.
Had to move my appointment from Wednesday to Thursday.
Yeah, that's a big problem. I'm sure that's the only thing on their mind now.
Exactly.
Trying to get back home.
Exactly.
Wow. You know, but, I mean, I'm seeing, like, not only snow, but flooding, you know? I mean, the thing is, they have a total whiteout there.
Yes.
And then floods all over the place. So I don't know how they're going to be dealing with this.
I don't know either.
But they said that probably the stock exchange was going to be closed today. I don't know what the situation is there. It doesn't say anything. But I wonder how many people in New York are not leaving the house.
Yeah. I mean, and they didn't even get it the worst.
Oh, in New York?
No,
really?
It was like Boston, like
Boston
places in Massachusetts,
worse.
Rhode Island, where else? Nantucket.
Right. Philadelphia, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
But a boy died after tubing in New York, and a man was frozen to death.
Really?
Yeah.
The boy was tubing, and he died?
Yeah.
From what?
I'm not sure. It didn't say, but it probably frostbite or something like that.
Really? Wow. Yeah. People are crazy, man. But, you know, I mean, yeah, on a day like this, you stay in. You don't go out.
Right.
It's crazy. You know, I mean, they had winds of 70, 80 miles an hour.
Yeah.
I mean, wow. How can people live in that kind of climate? I have no idea.
I don't know. Well, I guess because they figure the, like, benefits outweigh the negatives.
I mean,
I lived in Miami forever, and my parents still, you know, are over there, and there's hurricanes all the time.
Right, that's
true. Or at
least
warnings. So it's like you live in a little bit of, like, hysteria.
Right. That's true.
But the benefits of
the like
tropical
we have
weather.
The earthquakes here, yeah,
right,
yeah. Everybody's got their share, huh?
Right.
Yeah. Well, what are we gonna do?
Right.
Yeah. In a few minutes, we're gonna have a guest calling in. She was supposed to be in, but she's out of town, so she's gonna call in, and she's pretty interesting and nice. So she'll be calling in. We'll find out from where. And yeah, so. How many flights? They probably canceled like 5,000 every day, right?
Yeah, I think so because, well, we know that yesterday it was 6,000.
6,000 flights.
Yeah.
Just canceled, period.
Yep.
Wow.
I mean, that's like a lot of business that's not happening.
Yeah.
More than
a lot
anything
of business.
Like,
yeah.
More than just the cold weather. It's a lot of business that's not being done.
Yeah, a lot. And not just the airlines. All the people that are stuck, too.
Exactly.
You know? Yeah. Wow. Pretty scary stuff, man.
Yeah. And they don't know when it's going to be, like, over, when it's going to pass.
Yeah. See, there's people that that move to Miami. I mean, I've got some family. They lived in New York. They all moved to Miami, you know,
yeah,
for the weather.
Right.
So.
Snowbirds.
Yeah. They wanted to stay on the East Coast, but no snow for them.
Apparently, there's a thing now called a halfback, where you move from New York, let's say, to Miami or Florida to retire, but then like you don't really want that weather either, so you move back to like North Carolina.
Right.
So it's somewhere in the middle.
Wow.
So it's called being a halfback or halfbacking.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Oh, wow. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Never heard of that before.
Yeah, I recently heard that.
Yeah.
I think it came up due to this weather.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we have it really good here. We keep complaining, but
we do have it really good here.
You know, we really do. Wow, wait a minute. That's not what I wanted to hear. Wow.
What was that?
That's terrible. Well, I'm trying to get to the article about Auschwitz. I think it's 70 years.
Yeah, 70 years of liberation.
Right, since they liberated it. Mm-hmm. So that would be 1945. And, yeah, I mean, that Auschwitz was probably like the most known concentration camp. Rather, death camp is what they were. And, you know, when I grew up in Israel, they taught us a lot about this stuff. You know, there's a day of, like a memorial day for the Holocaust victims. Mm-hmm. And they teach us all this stuff. And it's pretty depressing stuff. I mean, yes. You know, that music wasn't far off. so, you know, these are, I mean, this is where the stories happened, where they would tell people. I was reading one woman's recount of what happened, and she said, you know, they take him on those cattle trains, in those cattle cars, and they take him there. They tell him they're going to labor camps and things like that.
Yeah.
They get off the plane. I mean, the train. They're saying, oh, you guys have had a long trip. You need to take a shower. They take him in the showers. They gas them there.
Right.
Instead of water, there's gas coming out, and all these people die. You know, regardless of whether they're kids, women, old people, you know, everybody was like, it was a well-oiled machine what the Nazis did.
Right.
Did you see Schindler's List?
I still have not. I don't know. I think I was too young when it came
out,
maybe.
Yeah, when it came out, yeah.
And then it never was something I saw later.
Right.
I should watch it because...
You should. It's an amazing movie. Even if someone is not Jewish, there's a lot to learn from that movie.
Yeah.
And it is a Steven Spielberg movie, and it has won a lot of awards. And I liked it. You know, it gives you a pretty good view of what happened.
I do need to see that. I've seen several other movies from that time period, like The Boy with the Striped Pajamas.
Oh, no, I never heard of that one.
It was really good. I think it was like an indie film. Not that that would be, you know, a big picture, but it was about like a kid that lived next to another kid, and his family was Jewish, and the kid in the striped pajamas, the other family wasn't. And I think one day he, you know, disappeared because he was taken to a camp, and it's like about how that just happened. Like your friend who you find, like, kids, like, they don't care what religion you are.
Right, they don't understand.
And then he was just gone.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
I know. There's a lot of stories. I mean, countless stories. 6 million people, that's a lot of people to kill.
It's a lot.
You know, it's a lot of people for anything. And, you know, I mean, for many years, Israel didn't even have 6 million people. I think now it barely does, maybe. But it's, it was, you know, pretty devastating machinery that they've created. But it had great performances, you know, Liam Neeson, Ralph Fiennes, Oscar. I think he got an Oscar for that, Ralph Fiennes.
Interesting.
You know, for his portrayal of a Nazi. Just like, what's his name, Christoph Waltz won for portrayal of a Nazi too. And it's funny because when I saw Inglourious Basterds, I thought, you know, that... I thought he deserved an Oscar for that performance. I mean, he was amazing.
Yeah.
You know.
He was. So, he was really amazing.
Yeah. So that's Christoph Waltz. And he did win an Academy Award for Supporting Actor for that film. You see, some things I do know about awards and stuff.
Yeah. It's just
when a movie sticks out, I remember it.
Yeah.
You know, and I pay attention because I'm sort of like emotionally invested in it.
Right. It
you
makes
know?
Sense.
Yeah. Okay. I'm predicting he's going to win. So now let's see if he's going to win.
Yeah.
You know? So I was delighted when he was nominated. I saw that movie again. You know, I don't see many movies more than once, but I saw Inglourious Basterds twice and I enjoyed it immensely both times.
Really? Yeah. I haven't seen it twice. I've seen it once, but I enjoyed it the first time I saw it.
Yeah. It was pretty good.
Yeah.
It was a good movie. And I like Tarantino movies. You know, they're different. They're different.
Yeah.
He takes on like different situations. You know, and it's like unpredictable, and that's why I like it.
Yeah,
he's crazy. He's a total nut.
Yeah,
but he knows what he's doing, you know, as a filmmaker. So, yeah, so 70 years for Auschwitz, for the liberation of Auschwitz. And, you know, that's another thing. I mean, the world knew this stuff was going on, and they didn't do anything.
Yeah.
It's easy to ignore the Jews. Always has been.
Well, I mean, I feel like it at the time, it was probably like the issues we're facing now that we step in on, and it's more likely that other countries will get involved in now.
Right.
Had it happened now...
Yeah, but you still, I mean, you can see still things are happening. I mean, like in Syria, for example.
Right.
People are getting slaughtered, even before ISIS, you know. And people are getting slaughtered and everything, and nobody's doing anything, you know. I mean, in Africa, we've got problems with Boko Haram and all those. And, you know, I mean, those are genocides, but nobody's doing anything about it. So I don't think we've learned anything. You know,
yeah.
from the past.
I do. I just think that it's probably not as easy as it sounds, and there are things being done that we don't know about. And
yeah, not as easy, obviously,
right.
but has to be done, you know.
Yeah.
I think, and everybody always looks to the United States because we've become sort of like the policeman for the world. The world needs a policeman, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it's true. Well, also, isn't there like NATO and like UN? And
right, but they're all ineffective in a way, you know? I mean, but the bottom line is everybody always looks to the United States to get involved.
Yeah.
And as the leader, and justifiably so, you know? I mean, we're big, we're strong.
Right.
We're rich. But at the same time, yeah, you know, the world needs to do something. And we can't afford to keep, you know, turning our heads the other way. I don't know, man. We don't learn anything, you know. And it's a story, you know, and that's another miracle about Jewish people is that, you know, the Holocaust was just the biggest example, but the attempts to eliminate and annihilate the people has been going on for millennia. So it's not something new. But this was systematic, you know. They managed to build factories for killing people.
Right. It's horrific.
Yeah, I mean that's German efficiency for you, put to use in the wrong way. And
I mean, I think there are Jews that still have trouble driving Mercedes because of what it symbolizes.
Yeah, yeah, a lot of things. They won't go to Germany. Yeah, a lot of things like that. You're absolutely right. You know, and they're saying, you know, the Germans of today are not the same Germans from back then. But the thing is, they have to live with it. And, you know,
it's unfortunate that they do. I mean,
they do.
The thing is people hate people everywhere. So you can't blame an entire, like, country for what happened that many years ago. Just like here, like with Martin Luther King. Like, you can't blame all of the white people for what happened to the black people of that time.
Right.
Forever and ever and ever.
Right.
At some point, we have to say, well, change has been made, and those people aren't those people. And people are entitled to, you know,
right.
change and have their beliefs. And
right, you know, and I mean, as it is, Germany is pretty, has been pretty shamed for all this, you know, so we'll see. Our guest is calling in, so let's go ahead and take that. Good morning, you're on the air, go ahead.
Good morning, Sam, it's Anissa Bragg, how are you?
Hi, Anissa, how are you doing?
I'm great, thank you. How are you?
Thank you for calling in. I'm very well, thank you. I have
My
Jen
pleasure.
Here. I have Jen here with me. And
Hi, Kim.
Hi.
So,
how are you?
Good. How are you? Good morning.
So,
good.
Anissa, where are you calling us from this morning?
You know, I'm actually in Scottsdale. I had appearance on stair today, and I got not feeling well, so I'm still here.
Oh wow! So now you had an appearance there. What did you do?
I was on the Fame Game with Maddie Rose, a very accomplished 17-year-old who has a radio show here for the last 5 years.
Wow! So
so we had a lot of fun.
Oh wow! Sounds pretty cool. You live in LA, right?
I'm in Los Angeles. Yes,
right.
I miss you guys already.
Right? Are you originally from LA?
No, actually, I'm not. I'm from Tennessee.
Oh wow! And what made you move out here? I guess all the different talents you have. I mean, it's hard to pinpoint what it is exactly that you do because you do so many different things.
I do. It's the devil Leo in me. I'm a celebrity lifestyle expert. I have a column that I write, Living Large, with Anissa and Viva Glam magazine. And then I'm also an interior designer and fashion designer.
Wow. So, I mean, that's a lot of different stuff that you're able to do, you know, reflecting the different interests you have and everything. What do you like most about, among all the things that you do? What is your favorite?
I enjoy all the different aspects. I love writing, and I'm just very artistic and creative. So I actually enjoy all of them. There's not one particular thing that I love doing the best.
I see.
I think they're all kind of coupled together. Sharing my experiences and wisdom with other people and showing people that, you know, life is meant to be glamorous and fabulous and you can really do anything.
That's true, yeah. And people do need that, you know. So you write for Viva Glam magazine, and we had the editor here, the publisher. This is like a small world, you know. So I wanted to ask you, Viva Glam magazine is a magazine for mostly for women, and it deals with fashion and relationships and everything else. What do you focus on writing when you write for the magazine?
Well, luckily, my column, she kind of gives me carte blanche on anything that I write. So my topics are anything from the art of entertaining to relationship to inspiration. My last feature that I just wrote about was Beautiful at Every Decade, and it basically just talks about each decade in a woman's life and kind of what she experiences and what are those turning points.
Right. And I imagine a lot of this stuff you get from experience. And did you have to go to school for any of this?
You know, actually, it just came natural for me. I've had a lot of experiences. I grew up in a small town, and then I got a contract with Kodak. I was a spokesmodel for them. So I've also modeled in my career and done television. And I moved to New York City, and I've worked in commercial development. So I've had a lot of life experiences. You know, I've lived a really extravagant lifestyle, and then I've been, you know, at low points in my life. So it's kind of been a roller coaster.
Right.
And, you know, I've tried a lot of things and had a lot of hats on. And so I just, you know, couple that from life experiences and share those messages and inspirations with people.
Sounds good. Now, do you have a website so people can follow while we're talking to you?
Well, my website is Anissa Bragg, and they're actually redoing that website. But they can find me on all social media at Anissa Bragg, AnnisciaBragg, I'm on Facebook, IG, and Twitter. And they can find me on the Viva Glam website at VivaGlamMagazine.com. And check out my articles, and they can check out the magazine.
Sounds good. Now, do you have a book in you? Do you think you're going to write a book soon?
Funny you ask that. I've actually written several books.
Oh, wow.
I have a book called Girl with Game, which is an affirmation book more for the younger generation, younger adults and teens, up to probably about 30 years old, and it has 5 cartoon characters in it that represent all the different facets of girls, and it comes with a collection of t-shirts and an affirmation mirror and an affirmation keychain, so it's like a gift set, and it basically talks about my philosophies, which is, you know, our mind controls everything. So, you know, you have to turn it on to positive thinking and, you know, kick out all the negative thoughts.
Yeah.
And then I have another book, Live with Purpose, Love with Passion. And that's kind of more for the adult read that basically talks about, you know, inspiration and manifesting dreams.
Yeah. Wow. Mm-hmm. Now, I see here there's Indulge with Anissa B. Tell us a little bit about this. What is that?
Well, Indulge with Anissa B is really just a concept. Come follow the journey, the inspiration, live large, go out there and take charge of your life and find your dream. So that's just, they just use that a lot when they're referring to me for my followers.
Oh, wow. That's very cool. So now, how long have you been doing this? When did you move to L.A.?
I've been in LA on and off for 15 years, but I, from, you know, going back and forth from the different coasts, but right. I've been back there now about 5 years.
Oh, okay. So you're local and you belong here. So that's good.
I belong there. Yes.
Yes, you do. Now, I wanted to ask you, you mentioned something about celebrity lifestyle. What was it exactly? How did you define it?
Well, the new thing that I'm doing is a web show, and it's called Living Large with Anissa. It's a revolving door of celebrities, top models, and rock stars and tastemakers across the globe. And I'm just taking my journalism approach to a television platform where I'll actually be interviewing these famous people, and we'll be talking about their own journey and you know, how they got there. And I'll be sharing that with my viewers. And we also have, actually, that'll go on the Viva Glam website, but we also have several large networks looking at that. So this possibly could go to a network.
Wow,
so I'm really excited
cool.
about that. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure. Well, this is fascinating stuff. I wanted to also ask you, so you also do interior design. How did you get into that?
Well, you know, I moved a lot, and I just, you know, I found my niche. I actually hired an interior designer once to do one of my estates, and I didn't actually like the results, and I ended up redoing it, and I didn't realize that I had the talent. And so I have a design center with a partner in Newport, and I have my own line of furniture. And then I'm working with another company now designing an innovative outdoor line of patio furniture.
Wow.
So, yeah, I mean, so I just do that on the side. I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that professionally. This new line will be sold in Home Depot. I'm doing this with a partnership. So it's just something that I'm really doing for fun on the side, because I do enjoy it. And I have, I've actually designed beautiful custom pieces for John Russo, who's a top celebrity photographer there. He shoots all A-list celebrities. And I've designed pieces that, like, Olivia Wilde and Eva Longoria have been photographed on. So, you know, I love designing. I can't help myself. So when people come to me and say, will you do something fabulous, I design it for them, right. But not on a full-time thing.
Right.
Just part-time. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, sounds good. So, I mean, you're like, you're quite a catch. I mean, you know, the thing is, you're beautiful, you're smart, you're ambitious and everything. Do you have any time left for social life and relationships?
You know, I do. That's really important to me. That's kind of, you know, the next phase of my life is, you know, marriage and having a family.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. So, do you feel you've done enough in your career that you're ready for kids now and to take a break?
I don't think I'll ever take a break, because I enjoy, when you love what you do, it's never work, right?
Right.
So, I think, though, maybe in a year or so, definitely I'm ready for that next phase of my life. Right. We'll see where that goes, but certainly that's what I want.
Sounds good. Well, so we wish you much success in that area as well. I'm sure you're going to do just fine, because if you can give people advice, obviously you can take some advice on your own, right?
Yes, absolutely. We're all coachable, right?
Right, yeah. So, okay, so you have the book, let's see. There's that affirmation book that you mentioned. What's that called? Mm-hmm.
That's called Girl with Game, and that will be published soon.
Oh, soon. Oh, okay, so it's
yes,
not out
yes.
yet.
Yes, it's not published. Girl with Game, yes, that's coming out. And then Live with Purpose, Love with Passion. That'll also be out. Both of those will be out within this year.
Sounds great.
Can't wait to read those.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
So people
yeah,
can
you'll
find,
enjoy them.
So people can find your material on VivaGlamMagazine.com, right?
They can find me on Viva Glam Magazine, and my column is Living Large with Anissa.
Okay.
And then they can find me on social media under Anissa Bragg.
Sounds good. And Anissa is A-N-I-C-I-A, Bragg, B-R-A-G-G. So you guys can find out more and see how beautiful she is. We got a chance to meet in person the other day, and you know, and I was really impressed with what you had to say. So people
thank
should definitely.
Thank you so much. That's very kind of you. I appreciate it.
Of course. And so everybody check it out. Anicia from Knoxville, Tennessee. So
I'm from Knoxville, Tennessee. Yeah.
Do you have any music in you, too?
You know, God didn't give me those gifts. I guess I could belt out a tune or so, but you might laugh about it. I'm not that great a singer. I got everything else, though.
Okay, sounds good. Definitely fortunate. Okay, Anicia, thank you so much for calling in. Feel better, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys, for having me. Have a
thank
great
you.
Day.
You bye-bye. Too. Bye-bye. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's got to be cool when you do a lot of different things, you know?
Definitely.
And I salute people that do that. You know, it's like it's never enough. I need to do this and I need to do that. And it's good, you know. You see ambition in people.
Yeah.
And that's something that you don't see a lot, especially in the younger generation. I don't know why, but, you know. Maybe if they get some better jobs, huh?
Maybe.
Yeah. Like the number one job in America. Did you see that?
No, what is it?
They have a list of the best jobs, I guess, as far as maybe job satisfaction and money. It seems like the money is like the, and they look at job growth and stuff. So the top one is software architect. Believe it or not, not surprising.
No.
And there's obviously a lot of money to be made in this because software is like what we live on today.
Right.
All these apps, you know, everything that we do revolves around software and for people to design it.
I'm developing an app.
Really?
Yep.
Wow. But you're going to have to find a software architect to do it.
I already did.
Oh, you did?
Yep.
Okay, cool.
A company out of Boston. Sorry if they're under snow right now.
Really?
Yep.
Okay, but you're not paying, well, actually, their median pay is $124,000 a year. That's not bad. Top pay, $169,000. Job growth in the next 10 years, 23%. So that's not bad. And actually, maybe that's what I'll recommend to my son. He's so far majoring in engineering. He figured with engineering, the doors are open everywhere.
It's true. My cousin's an engineer, and he works for a medical device company, Stryker. And he right now is building robots that can do knee surgery for the doctors.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, you see, that's cool, man. And they deserve to make a lot of money. I mean,
absolutely.
I think to us, software developers are like magicians, you know?
Yeah.
They do things that are just amazing. When you look at the iPhone, for example, you know, and you have something like Siri and, you know, all the autocomplete stuff. I mean, that's. You have to be really smart to think about these things.
Definitely.
You know, and not only that, but they come up with things that we don't know that we need.
Yet. Right. And I love that.
Yeah.
I want them to do that. Continue doing it.
I know.
I would put my kids in that, like, for sure.
Yeah. Huh?
Something like where they are useful forever, where their job won't go away, where there's a market that's always growing. I like medical, for instance. Like, we're always going to need doctors.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So I guess they're also looking at the quality of life rating. And so they're saying benefits to personal satisfaction, they give it an A. Benefit to society, a B. Telecommuting, A. And low stress, A.
Yeah, because you can work from anywhere when you work on software and things that are in your computer.
That's true. But how can it be low stress? I mean, they have like deadlines out the ears.
Because
you know?
It's not like going to affect somebody's life that moment, probably. It's not like meetings and things like that, or like it's just components to a bigger software.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think that it's.
But they do have deadlines. I mean, you know, I know that, you know, many of these programmers, like they'll spend the nights in the office eating
right.
pizza and staying up all night.
But they also love that, like how they geek out on that
stuff.
Yeah,
I know.
And then they don't have to do it. Like, then they discover it, they finish it, and then they move on, you know?
Yeah. I know. There's other people that implement this. But this is pretty cool. Video game designer. But, I mean, this is the number two, and the pay is like almost half of what it is for the first job we mentioned.
Yeah.
But, so I guess they don't only look at money, you know? They look at
quality of life, growth, yeah, benefits.
Exactly. Things like that,
right.
You know. and 19% growth for that. And that's a fun job, although it's not easy. You know, I mean, I worked for a computer game company, a video game company, and I saw them work. I mean, you know, you have to come up. It's like almost writing a script, you know. I mean, you have to you design the story, you design the interaction and everything.
Right.
So it sounds very cool, you know, and I'm sure a lot of young people.
It's a good creative outlet.
Yeah.
For somebody that likes video games and stuff like that.
I know, I know. Let's see. A landman, whatever that is, I guess needed to negotiate oil and gas leases. Sounds boring to me, but you can make a lot of money in that.
Interesting. I wonder how you become that.
Yeah. School, probably.
Well, like, what's the path?
I don't know. Engineer, maybe?
Maybe.
Yeah. Now, the next one is a patent agent. I guess with all the inventions and everything, I don't know. Then the next one is hospital administrator. It's one thing I would not want to do, man.
No, you get blamed for a lot, I'm sure.
Yeah, but the top pay there is $207,000 a year.
Oh, I'm in the wrong business.
Right. Obviously, in low stress, they have a C.
Oh.
So, yeah, you can imagine.
Yeah, they're probably stressed.
Right. So, yeah, it sounds like a lot of stuff here is technical and, you know, unsurprisingly, I think. And, yeah, like continuous improvement manager, whatever that is. But, yeah, we get the idea, I guess, of what this is about.
Yeah.
And people should definitely pursue careers, you know. I mean, there's no other way around it.
And it's cool that there are different careers than there were in the past.
Yeah, that's true. But, you know, many people are hurt by this, you know, especially like mom and pop places that used to do things the old-fashioned way.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, they don't even exist anymore. And it's sad, you know, but the world does change and we have to embrace that change. And if people know how to renew themselves and get new skills, then, you know, although it's easier said than done. I know I went to this a little watch repair shop that he also has like a display of new watches and stuff. And, you know, it's like a small store here on Ventura Boulevard. Not even a store, it's a small shop. And I went there like to get a battery for the watch or something. Mm-hmm. And I told him, I said, how do you survive? You know, I mean, you have all these places that sell watches at half the price online. You have the big stores and everything. How do you survive? He says, you see this inventory? He says, it's been sitting here for 3 years. I don't sell anything from this. I just make the money from the services, from repair, from things like that. And even that, you know, I mean, just think of the rent he has to pay there.
Right.
You know, how do you make that kind of money when you make, you know, like $5 service things?
Right. Well, couldn't he also put his material online and sell that online?
I don't think he could sell it for that kind of money. You know?
Well, because if he wants to make money, he could maybe cut his prices.
Well, yeah, but the thing is that still people don't go to those kind of shops to buy a watch, you know.
Well, if he put it online and sold the watches for less.
Right.
Then he at least would be putting out inventory and making money.
Right. Well, you don't know that he would because I would imagine there's a million people selling watches online.
That's true.
So I don't know, but the bottom line is that the constant change is disrupting a lot of industries. That's for sure.
Yeah.
So you were talking about the asteroid yesterday, right?
Yep.
What's the story with the asteroid? Did you get to see it?
I did not.
Yeah. I don't think many people did. They're saying it was just grainy black and white photos. Yeah. So I don't know. But but apparently it has a moon, which is very cool, I think. An asteroid with a moon. And I guess they refer to a body, a spatial body that rotates around it. You know, that's
that
what
is
the moon
really cool.
Is. Yeah. So... yeah, small moon orbiting the asteroid, man. That's pretty cool.
It's so cool that there are other, like, things going on out there.
It's also cool that you like space. You know, I'm not that into it, but what do you think fascinates you about it? Just that it's, like, that we can't get there, that it's big?
It's just mysterious to me, and it makes me feel good that we're not the only planet.
Why does it make you feel good?
Because I do believe, in like the universe and like the bigger, you know.
Right. But how does it affect your life? I mean, if there's life on a planet light years away, it might as well not exist because we'll never know about it.
I just like knowing that it's there.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, well, believing that it's there, you don't
right.
know that it's
exactly.
there.
Exactly, believing that it's there. And
but you don't believe in green aliens with one no. eye and all that no. stuff. Yeah, good. Because otherwise I'd throw you out the window.
I believe in other life forms. I don't know what they look like. I'm going to say that they probably... You know what? An alien is as much as a Santa Claus. Like, yeah. we just put a picture, like a face to an idea.
Right.
And so, okay.
It's absolutely right. Yeah. We make up things.
Right.
Just like witches and zombies exactly. and all these things. You right. know? And people love it, you know. I just am a little more a realist, you know. I just... I like movies about things that could happen.
Yeah.
You know. So zombies don't do it for me. Do you like zombie movies?
I actually don't, but I liked our guest's interpretation of what zombies are and I right. guess the mythology behind zombies.
Right.
That they actually represent ideas and not people that eat your
right.
Milk,
yeah.
Whatever.
And fear and
yeah.
our fears and stuff. Yeah.
yeah. And it's
that's
like
what he was saying.
Like, you know, that the government is taking over like certain elements of our life and that.
Right.
Just those kinds of concepts.
Right. The things that we fear the most, I
right.
guess you're
right. They're representative.
Right. So, we sort of project it on these characters that we create.
Right. However, I'm more afraid of the zombie itself and that it eats you and like bites your blood and like whatever it does than I am of the other concepts. So I'm like, I don't even want to watch those things because yeah. the zombies scare me. Like, I watched one episode of The Walking Dead with my cousin, and I was like, this is too gory for me.
Wow.
I cannot watch this.
Yeah.
So maybe under, like, I don't know, just under-dramatize it, and I'll watch it.
Okay. I know. And werewolves and vampires and all these things.
I am
know.
So not into any of that.
I know. I know. But we talk about vampires and stuff. Well, actually, no. Why am I confusing her with Kristen Stewart? But no, I'm talking about Emma Watson. I wanted to bring this up. She's from Harry Potter,
yeah.
right? And she's going to play Belle in the new live-action Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Wow, they're really going to town with all these live actions.
They are, huh?
I don't know that we need them.
I know.
Sorry. They're not good. They never have been.
I know. They're probably not going to be any good.
Peter Pan was awful.
Yeah.
Oh, it was so bad. I am excited to see the new Cinderella movie.
Oh, yeah?
It's not live action. It's an actual movie that's coming out
in
the theaters.
Not live action, but actual movie.
It's not like we watch them do it as it's happening. Like Peter Pan was live.
Right.
What else did they do? The one with Carrie Underwood.
I don't know.
Oh, my God. The movie with Julie Andrews.
Oh, Sound of Music?
Yes, they did Sound of Music. We don't need to see it happening as though it's a play,
right.
but on TV.
Right, exactly.
I would rather see a movie where they can like adjust it. If you're going to do that, like it's not meant for the small screen. It's like a big production. It either should be in theater or it should be a movie, not a TV rendition.
So Cinderella is going to be a TV movie?
No, it's an actual movie.
It is an actual
Yeah,
movie.
In the theaters, okay. Dolby Digital, whatever it is, Blu-ray, right. the whole thing.
Right.
Like, edited,
okay.
pre-recorded songs.
All right.
Not as cheesy, hopefully, as like Peter Pan and The Sound of Music were.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Good. Who remembers Sound of Music, man? That was so long ago.
I do.
Do you?
Yeah, I love the music.
Wow. That's pretty cool. So you like musicals?
I do.
Oh, wow.
When done right. They're not always done right.
Yeah.
Sometimes they hurt. Well, they hurt more than they help.
Really?
Yes. Hopefully Beauty and the Beast will be good.
I know. Well, maybe she's going to inject something into it. Who
maybe. Cause, but then again, I thought Allison Williams would too. But Peter Pan itself is quite cheesy.
Yeah?
Yeah.
No, I didn't see that one.
Ugh. Don't.
Are you talking about the one with Robin Williams?
No.
No, that was Hook.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that was great.
Yeah.
But no, the one with Allison Williams was just on NBC or whatever. And it was her, Christopher Walken, who uh-huh. barely moved and talked. It was so weird.
Really?
The whole thing was weird.
Wow. Yeah. Do you like theater at all?
I do. I grew up in theater.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. That's very cool. It takes a lot for me to sit still through a play, but maybe I should try one. You know, maybe at least the good ones.
Yeah, they're great. I mean, when they're good, that's when you should see them.
I know. I kind of miss it because when I was a kid, I'd go to a lot of kid plays and stuff, you know.
But yeah. We get a lot of good ones here at, like, Pantages and the theaters here.
Yeah.
Like, Wicked keeps coming back. I still need to see it. I want to see the one, Book of Mormon.
Yeah.
I really want to see that.
What's that about?
Mormons. Yeah.
Okay.
It's the two guys that did Basketball, and they do South Park. And so it's, like, turning it on its head and, like, making it, you know, kind of a satire, probably.
Oh, okay. Sounds interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So Beauty and the Beast. Okay, the asteroid we covered. I wanted to bring this up. LASIK surgery, you know what that is, right?
Yes, I want it.
Do you?
Mm-hmm.
Do you wear contacts?
Yes,
something?
And they bother me almost all the time.
Yeah, I know. I hate contacts, man. One time... I hadn't used it for a while, and then I did, and my eye, like, was blurry the whole night, you know, because I went to a wedding, and I thought, you know, I don't want my glasses and stuff. I'll just wear those after not having worn them for a while. My one eye was blurry all the time. I thought, God, I can't wait to get home, you know?
Yeah.
Got home, took it off, still blurry. Realized that it was sort of cracked from sitting around
for a few
months. And, I mean, it was obviously in the liquid and everything, but something must have happened, and it maybe scratched my cornea or something.
Yeah.
And then it was just painful, and I had to go to a doctor, you know. And they put, like, a patch on my eye and all that stuff.
Oh, wow.
I know. But ever since I decided I'm not putting anything in my eyes, you know.
Yeah.
So, and I hate glasses. I really do. You know, I mean, they're just not comfortable. I have to keep putting them back on and off. Like, at the bookstore, it's the worst, because if I have them on, you stand next to the shelf, and it's blurry. It's too close. So I take them off, then I'm able to read and everything, but then I can't see around me, you know?
So you're nearsighted.
Yeah.
I am, too.
Yeah.
So I need it for driving. I need it for, like, the reason I got contacts at all were for driving and the teleprompter.
Right.
In college. So yeah. I was like, well, I'm not going to wear glasses on air. I'm going to get contacts. So
right.
I did, and I've worn them ever since. But they hurt my eyes. They make my eyes dry, too wet. Like, something like is painful in one of them right now. I always get makeup in them.
Really? Yeah.
All the time.
That's pain.
So I do want to actually get another good pair of glasses that I'll wear on, like, certain days to give my eyes a break.
Right.
But I hate things on my face.
I know.
So I know. Well, how do you win? I need LASIK.
Yeah, that's true. So I'm thinking about, I mean, I have been thinking about it, but I remember for many years I was afraid, because it's your eyes, you know, I didn't want to mess with my eyes. But now it's been done for so many years, for decades.
Yep.
That it's pretty safe. You know? I think they know what they're doing
now.
But just imagine going to a doctor that would screw up your eyes, man. And it has happened.
Scary.
Yeah, very scary. So, but you have to be a good candidate for LASIK. And they're saying, you know, you're... there's a lot of things that, you know, you can't do it because you have certain conditions and stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you guys should look it up. I mean, it's quite a bit of qualifications that you need to have, but I'm thinking though, from what I understood, if you get it for nearsightedness, then you can't really see close, so you need glasses to see close. At least that's what I thought I heard. I don't know, but that would, like, defeat the whole purpose.
Right. Yeah, I have a feeling there's more to it. Like, I have friends that have had it, family members that have had it, and they're like, it's life changing. You don't have to deal with glasses or contacts. You don't have to think about that extra step anymore.
Right.
And it's so convenient. And it's like a same day surgery. So you go in and you leave.
Right. It just, it really, like, thinking about it, you know, makes me like, ugh, you know, because they, like, cut into your eye, you know, with laser.
See, and that's the thing. I wouldn't want to think about it. I would want to either just make a decision and do it.
Exactly. Just kind of do it. Don't tell me what you're doing.
Right.
Yeah.
That's it.
I know.
Do they knock you out for that? Is there, like...
I don't think so. I don't think so.
Because they need just to see your eye functions and stuff.
Right. That and also because, I mean, they just give you like a an anesthetic, you know, so for your eyes. So you don't really feel it.
Oh, I wouldn't want to hear it either.
I know.
I'm big on surgery, awake. Going to sleep.
Yeah, I know.
Do what you got to do, but I'm not going to be awake for it.
Yeah, well, maybe there are ways. Maybe you can sleep and they open your eyes.
Maybe. Oh, the whole process is, I don't want to know.
I know, you don't want to think about it.
I've got my job, they've got theirs. I'm just going to let them do that. But is there a discount somewhere? Because I heard it's like $2,000 an eye.
Yeah. They do have, and actually some of the big ones like LASIK Eye Center, they've been around for a long time. I think they have like Groupon things all the time.
That makes me afraid though, because I'm if I'm getting my eye surgery at a real discount for like a coupon, I'm like, I don't know that that's safe.
I know.
I'd almost want to pay full price just for the sanity of knowing that like it was
expensive
surgery.
Yeah, but it's a reliable place, you know. Maybe they just, remember, they do these things not because they don't have work, but it's usually because they need to raise cash quickly, you know. So that's why they would do this.
Yeah.
So it doesn't mean anything, you know. But if you go to a reputable place, yeah. But I have to agree with you. I one time went to a new dentist based on this Groupon thing, the worst dentist. And this guy's like old. I mean, he's been doing this for a long time.
Whoa.
Yeah. Screwed up my crown like 3 times he had to do it. He still didn't get it right.
Yikes.
I finally got my money back and I went somewhere else.
That's good.
Yeah. But so you never know, you know, but there's something to what you're saying.
Yeah. I mean, I do think that if you do your due diligence and like check Yelp and see like business ratings and health grades, there's like a bunch of sites out there that you can cross-reference like and see what people say about the dentist or whoever you're going to. And then it's worth getting the Groupon.
That's true. Yeah. We should take advantage of all these reviews they have today.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, those make or break businesses, you know that?
Yeah.
Yeah. People
it's true.
Like, sometimes people, just because they're mad, they'll go and they'll put in a bad review. You know, maybe they're in a, you know, I don't know. I guess I would too if I was irritated with a company.
Yeah.
But I don't go and do that. And I get irritated with them quite a bit. But, you know, it's like I got online with Time Warner yesterday, like through chat online. This woman must have wasted half hour of my time to tell me that I'm in the wrong department.
Oh, gosh.
And that she couldn't find my account.
That's the worst.
Yeah.
Those companies are the worst.
And what I'm saying is, look, you're sitting there to do one thing and one thing only, and that is to enter chat and to answer questions. And even that they can't do right.
Right.
You know, I mean, obviously, if in 2 minutes you don't find my account, something's going on, you know. Don't keep me waiting for 15 minutes.
Well, those companies are such a monopoly over, like, certain areas, and you need them. So they don't really put a lot of effort into their customer service because they don't need to. You're going to use them anyway.
Exactly. No competition.
Right.
Yeah. Except now they have, like, UVerse and all that, which I like.
I like UVerse, too. I actually have to call them, though, because I need to cancel my cable.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, they just like, so there is competition now, and that helps, you know. They have like better
checks
prices
and balances.
And stuff. Exactly. All right. Well, that's it for today. Thank you all for listening. Thank you, Jen.
Thank you, Sam.
And we'll see everybody tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen. Right here on LA Talk Radio.